Hey, Side Stories listeners, this is Henry Zebrowski. You may recognize me. I'm the host of this podcast along with the other fucking monster, Ben Kissel. And I'm here to tell you about Trollville, a new series brought to you and created by me, Natalie Jean, and Sina Ghaznavi. This show is about what happens when you take an internet troll and you watch his online behavior slip into his real life and see how does that change him. Is he ready to join society? We've made this project with a lot of love on our own dime. I'm really hoping you guys will enjoy it. It's $1.99 per episode and $5 for the entire series. It's over 50 minutes of my body jiggling back and forth. We're really, really proud of it, and we hope you guys can check it out. It's on Vimeo. The URL is vimeo.com/ondemand/Trollville. Again, that's vimeo.com/ondemand/Trollville, which is troll as in pieces of troll, and ville, V-I-L-L-E. Please check it out. I think it's a fucking masterpiece for my sweet slippery fingers. Hail Satan. And now, time for Side Stories.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
How does it feel to be in my hotel room?
It feels different because you are laying on your bed staring at me in very short shorts and I'm going to say slightly uncomfortable.
This is how I've always wanted to do the podcast.
Yeah.
This is it. This is so much better. We're on the road. We're doing this from Dallas, Tejas. I'm sitting here on my sweat-filled workout gear on top of my bed that is filled with my skin flex, and I'm certain a couple of stray sperms.
Oh, I'm sure of that. All right, everyone. This is Side Stories. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are live from Dallas, Texas, recording from Henry's hotel room. Mm. And I got to say, it looks like you've been lonely.
Hey, man.
So that's good.
You're never lonely when you got your hands and you have your penis. Actually, it's the opposite. You're incredibly lonely.
Yes.
But you know what I did last night? It was really nice. So we went out on the town.
Okay,
we
sure.
We were over in the, it seemed to be, I think it's Deep Ellum?
Deep Ellum. It was beautiful, man. A lot of actual country bars. People were super sweet. Great music.
Great music. People seemed to immediately peg that we were out of town. We were from out of town.
Yeah.
I think it's got something to do with my sashaying ways and my hip urbane manner.
Yeah, and you screaming at the governor about the government.
Well, you were the one who put beer in me, and then you were the one who wanted to watch your precious fucking, whatever the shadow play.
It was an election. It was an election.
Shadow plays. Shadows upon shadows. And who are the ones making the shadows? Who are the ones controlling the puppets?
Okay, so now you know why they were looking at us like we were a little bit out of towners, because they were all wearing their Beto shirts, and they were happy, well, not that happy towards the end, but then you were just like, what's going on? What's happening? And then we had to go outside the bar and drink there.
We did go outside the bar because, whatever. It was a lot of extenuating circumstances, but I will also say that I attempted to join onto your parade, into your whatever that the systems of chicanery is.
It's an election.
Exactly. The farce.
Well, anyway, it was a wonderful time in Dallas, and we're really excited for our show tonight. We also had an awesome time in Washington, D.C. And speaking of politics, which we won't really do too much in depth on this show, but Henry was able to flip off a motorcade. I'm not sure if Trump was in that motorcade.
I'll tell you what, though. Whoever it was, I made the guy, the Secret Service guy that was in the driver's side seat, made eye contact with me as I was going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And it was great. It's just good to do. It's good to exercise my rights as an American.
Absolutely.
But Dallas, I mean, we went out there, we drank quite a bit, and when I came back to the hotel room, I had a really nice time where I sat because it was fucking awesome. It's an LAX. Now you can just bring weed wherever you want.
Oh, I didn't know you had that.
Yeah, so I don't have to scrounge for it anymore. It's wonderful. I can just bring it with me. And I sat, I fucking smoked a fucking crooked snappy stick to my fucking charred lips.
See, you do this, and I don't know how you always get away with it, because when we were checking in, the woman looked at me right in the eye. I don't even know why she pegged me as someone who might smoke, and she's like, if you smoke, it's a $350 fine. And then I said, oh, that's an expensive cigarette. And then, but I
silence.
Know. Silence. To silence. Yeah.
Silence.
To silence. But I mean, you just always get away with it. You smoke so much freaking weed in these hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And there's just families next door.
Weed goes away. Weed goes away. Weed doesn't have a long memory. Look at me. Look how I can't remember basic facts.
That's not weed. That's your brain.
I'm dying. But I think it's the booze that's making me stupider.
I understand that.
It's somewhere between the two of them.
Yeah, I think it's a 1-2 punch.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. I am not as fast as I used to be, even when we started this podcast.
Right. This podcast is the one that we're currently recording.
Yeah, three minutes ago, yes. Right. I started last night, smoked a whole fucking Oars load.
Okay.
Of horse to my dome.
Good.
And I sat here and I listened to all of Black Star finally by David Bowie.
Oh, okay.
I pulled up all the lyrics and stuff, and man, I just went to fucking space.
No kidding.
I saw David Bowie. I saw his cancer-ridden skeleton. Oh. And he's still dancing up there.
Is he really?
He's still dancing full carefree. Him and Freddie Mercury sucking each other's dicks, and then he reaches over and he's got Marilyn Monroe's head on the other hand.
Oh my
gosh. It's great
gosh.
For him up there.
That's wild. Oh, crackling bones up there.
But Lazarus is a beautiful song, and then it's definitely a wonderful tribute to his own death, and I hope to do the same.
And it came out on his birthday. Didn't he die on his birthday?
I don't remember.
It was something like that. David Bowie planned it out way
That's
too
a good
perfect.
Question. I'm gonna look it up on
It's
this
pretty incredible.
David Bowie death day.
Anyway, yes. Check. I'm pretty sure he died on his birthday.
January 10th is his. He was born 2 days. It was 2 days after.
That's crazy.
This is great.
That's classic Bowie.
This is great radio.
It is wonderful. All right.
Duncan Jones. No, his first name was Davy Jones. Birth name. His father
was Davy Jones.
And he changed it because of the monkeys.
Yeah, thank God he changed it.
Girl.
Isn't that amazing?
What
is incredible.
Have you done to me? You remember that from the...
Of course. I know the monkeys. They're great. They were my favorite fake band.
Really?
Yeah, why not? They're fun.
Name a couple other songs. I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to put the spotlight on you.
You want to do monkey songs? Wouldn't it be nice to hang out sometimes?
Nope.
Little guy, big gal?
Nope.
Let's see.
Another member of the monkeys.
Bubbles, the monkey?
No, one's a cartoon mouse. It's. I'll give you a hint. Cartoon mouse. Cartoon mouse if he
David Cassidy.
Nope.
That's Parker.
Partridge Family. Cartoon mouse if he was a coach of a football team.
Cartoon mouse if he was Mickey... Lambo.
Nope.
No, Mickey.
Nope. Yes, it is Mickey.
Okay, Mickey.
Yep.
Then football coach.
Dolan.
Landry.
Mickey Dolan.
Mickey Dolan. There's no football coach named Dolan.
But it sounds like it would be
owner of the New York Knicks.
What? How the fuck am I supposed
because
to know
that's
the
last name. If you want to have a sports reference, that would be the sports reference.
What?
That's the last name of the owner of the New York Knicks.
Seriously?
Michael Dolan. He's horrible.
Okay. Dolan.
And it's also the bishop. It's also the freaking archbishop or whatever out in New York, Timothy Dolan, who, by the way, is about to go down hired in a series of sex scandals.
The only way I would like to see him is fucking hung in a town square. I want to see them feet tip-tap in the clouds.
Ugh, they're all disgusting. He showed up
Jesus
at that freaking stupid ass. What was that? He went to some festival.
No, he gave
he went
a
to the
hat
Met
to the Met Gala. He
no,
gave
he went
hat.
To it.
No, did he go to
he
it?
He literally went to it.
I fucking hate all that fucking horse shit. Them all dressed like popes and priests and shit. They go suck my dick.
He was literally covered in jewels. And this was anyway. God. All right. Well, we got a couple of fun news stories.
We do.
Should we start? Do you want to do this one where this dog, it was a bulldog and it was named Biggie Smalls.
That's cute.
It was super cute.
That's really cute.
And according to the friend of the person, we'll get into what happened here in a second. But according to a friend of the bulldog who was a person.
Friend of the bulldog.
Yes. They said that the bulldog was extremely sweet, really kind.
Great.
We never heard a fly.
So why are we talking about this? Why is this just a testimony about a wonderful bulldog?
I wish it was, but no, what happened was its owner, this 22-year-old guy who refuses to give his name, he wants to remain anonymous.
I wonder why.
Because he smeared peanut butter all over his balls, and then the dog ate his balls.
Okay.
And then he's in a coma now. So,
he doesn't so much refuse to give his own name. It's his family who is deeply embarrassed.
Yeah.
About what happened.
So this is according to the police, which you can imagine, like they got some real crimes to solve, and then they got this one. And
case of the missing balls. I got a good idea. Let's carve open the belly of this cute little dog.
Oh,
what happened? Okay. So the
guy says. So this is according to the police. He says the man applied peanut butter or another food spread to
applied.
His crotch.
I like the term applied. Yeah. Like it was a doctor. He carefully dolloped it.
Yeah, he's not just drunkenly splattered and smothered peanut butter all over his balls. So in the moments before he was attacked, the victim was rushed to the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary.
Scottish.
Yes, it's Scottish. But his genitals could not be reattached after the mauling.
These balls, hey, come here, come closer. Come closer. My wife fell into the bog. She can't be sick anymore because she's getting ate by the octopus.
God, the Scottish are a wonderful people.
Honestly, very creative. So, what happened to the dog? So he chewed his balls off after while he was trying to fucking make cunnilingi. He was trying to make a dog make cunnilingi on himself, his own dog.
I guess so. I don't know if he was enticing the dog to come after him.
Of course he did. That's what that is.
I know.
That's
I don't
put the peanut butter.
And what I'm going to say is this is not the dog's fault. The dog was just following orders, technically. So what happened was
you can't put the banality of evil on the dog.
Biggie Smalls, this cute little pup, he was found covered in blood, and then he was restrained and he was taken to multiple kennels, and then later he was put to sleep. And a spokesperson for the police said the owner of the dog, which is believed to have been involved, has voluntarily signed documentation consenting to the destruction of the animal.
Of course he did, because
you did it,
because he's in the hospital bed. First of all,
he did it.
Kill that fucker, he ate me nuts.
Kill that
fucking monster.
You know what's going to happen. You put peanut butter around a dog. They are going to consume anything that is on that peanut butter, that peanut butter is on. I don't know why dogs love peanut butter, but I get it. But
because we love peanut butter, because it's delicious.
A friend described Biggie as an absolute angel.
But, and so, then, literally, you know what they took out? Because you know they do the spelling things when they put the brackets in to leave things out? It says absolute, and they took out testicle munching angel.
But this is what I'm saying. Biggie was such a great dog. His friend was like, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great
screw
dog.
My friend who lost his balls. Biggie was great. The guy, he literally says, the dog is an absolute angel. I was happy to be around him. He gets a bit freaked out by noise, but he loves having his belly rubbed. And now he's dead because this person put peanut butter on his balls. What do you think is going to happen?
Okay, I got a couple of things here that may be controversial. I'm not really sure. But there's a couple of things that I'd immediately take issue with. Number one, as a fellow dog owner, I am not attracted to animals in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But I do feel
this
like
this guy's molesting the dog.
Yes. I do feel it's strange, number one, to have it be done by your own dog. Even though you do have a sense of trust with the animal because you love this animal.
Yeah.
And you put the peanut butter, because I'm sure he probably tested it with his fingers, right? Where he probably put peanut butter in his fingers and he was like, oh, well, it's a funny little nickly bean. It's kind of fun. I can feel what it's like going down there. I'm Australian.
But he's Australian.
But you can go
that's just feeding your dog. You can feed your dog off of your hand.
But at some point, in some Scottish whim, he covered his dick in balls.
By the way, the scariest kind of whim is a Scottish whim.
He's like, I see what he does with it. Oh, I got the chunky corn. Get stuck in my hands. Oh,
right? Yeah, is it chunky or smooth peanut butter?
I would say you go for smooth, but
yeah.
I don't want to help you if you want to do this.
I mean, the balls add the chunk. I don't think you need the chunk.
I don't think so. But it takes a lot. Okay. How do you do this? Oral sex sometimes can involve even the tiniest bit of teeth, right? Even just like even like a little bit of a touch, a little bit, no matter how careful you are.
It should never involve peanut butter.
It could.
I guess.
But then I could see how, because the build of it, the Scottish dude's laying back being like, give it. All right, give it here, big head. Give it like I teach you. And then all of a sudden you get the, and he's like, all right, yeah, it's great. And then, but my question is, you feel it didn't just go like, oh. Like, this is not like,
no.
It takes a second. It takes a second. Yeah. I imagine you must have felt a little bit of a,
you're getting toothy there.
So
you get a bit toothy. Yeah. You're going to pull back that big eight.
Well, you know how bulldogs are. So this is an old English bulldog, and they are actually known for their power in their jaws. They really are. I think what happened was it clamped down, and the guy was like, oh, no. And then it was
this done. This is a right mess.
Yeah. And because the old bulldogs, they descended from breeds used for bull baiting, which I don't know what bull baiting is.
Bull baiting is an old medieval sport that people go watch where you have a bear or a bull be attacked by many dogs and people would pay money to see either the bear or whatever it is, the animal kill all the dogs or have the dogs kill the animal.
Okay, so this is the thing about this guy. Rumors swirled around this town, and you can imagine in Scotland, this is a hot bar story. anywhere in the world.
Yeah, because the first thing would be like, yeah, it's like, oh, you want a beer? And it's just like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's like, yeah, let's have some beers. And it's like, well, Danny got his fucking nuts bit off by that fucking Mickey dog. Yeah. He did it.
That's a perfect bar story.
First thing, you don't have to fucking warm anybody up.
No, not at all. So rumors swirled around the town that the injured man had been held down during the attack.
By who?
However, it is now believed he was alone.
Yeah, of course
with
he was.
Biggie at the time. So he just did this. He lost his own balls.
Yes.
You got to know what you're around. It's still a dog.
Unfortunately, the dog does have to be put down because
it's already
got a taste for blood. But it has to be because it got a taste for blood.
No, it has a taste for peanut butter.
No, it's got a taste of peanut butter mixed with nut blood.
Honestly, there's not a lot. I don't think there would have been. Well, there was probably some blood.
There's a great deal of blood.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I think you got to find a home for that dog and just no peanut butter around.
Or at least just women.
What?
Only
yeah.
women there because
yeah, women,
the
you never hear stories about women doing this. Well,
they
do.
I've seen screen grabs, some documentation,
but
of stuff that could be construed as that.
Never mind. We don't even have to.
I just wonder why he didn't why didn't he escalate it? Why didn't he start from the fingers, then go smear it on some haggis.
Oh, just understand that the big old even that's not gonna feel good.
He would have seen that the
I
dog
think it was a joke.
Would have death rattled the haggis with covered with peanut butter.
No, wait, Travis, he's
Kissel
not.
Just said he thought it was a joke.
I get you. I guarantee
what
you.
What joke
this,
is this? Who's
this is the joke
benefit?
Where the dog licks peanut butter off your balls and you
for
laugh.
Who?
I don't know because no one else was there.
This wasn't a joke.
No, he was trying to come.
Oh my! Honestly, the guy. They should. I don't want to say it, but maybe the dog should be alive, and maybe the guy needs to be put down.
This is like a story. Growing up on a military base, this is the story you hear from a lot of shitty 19-year-old soldiers. It's this is something that happens.
Why?
Well, thank you for
this?
Your service. If you're in the military, you can do this 3 times.
Yeah, if you're in the military, do whatever
you're
want. You're already went through basic.
The only people I've ever heard of doing this is a 19-year-old soldier
who's just alone in a barracks. But I would also
is
say,
that right, Travis?
Yeah.
But when you get the sucking,
it was just some lonely barracks stuff.
I honestly feel safe. I feel safer
when you put the dick in a vacuum. I've seen that. That's also bad.
Yeah, but at least the vacuum's an inanimate object.
I just don't understand. I've never been in any sort of sexual situation where I would say, suck it so hard it hurts
me.
I want to bust the veins in my penis.
We can assume the guy was hammered. We're talking Scotland here.
I'm
going to say the guy was hammered. I think he was just trying to be funny, and then he just didn't realize the dog doesn't get this joke.
No, he was just lonely. He was just lonely, and he just didn't want to jerk off.
Honestly,
you don't want to jerk off so much.
I'm not even going to go down this road, but it's also, it's an old English bulldog. If you're into it, it's.
So you're saying if he had a young pert dog, you
don't
know,
I'm just saying it's an English bulldog. It's not exactly if you're going to be, I'm not going down the road. I'm just saying if you had to choose, I mean, it's not,
so
it's not
this,
a poodle.
This stodgy old dog doesn't get what's happening.
All right, let's move on. The man is going to be in a coma for a long time, and he's going to be ballless forever.
Otherwise, when he wakes up, he's going to be real fucking surprised.
Yeah, and he's going to be the laughingstock of the town.
They killed my dog. That was the best dog you could have.
Oh, my God. No, this man should never be allowed to buy peanut butter again.
Okay, so I'm going to go to a story that has been sent to me again and again, but obviously it's very, very important. It's very interesting. It's
okay.
It's a story about the discovery of an object in 2017 that passed through our solar system that they named Umaumau, which means a messenger that reaches out from the distant past in Hawaiian, which is very, that's a lot.
Very cool.
I believe Keanu means something like winds over mountains that blow into Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 3. I'm not actually sure, but it's a long thing.
I gotta say, Keanu Reeves, my favorite celebrity as a person. He suffers from depression. He talks about it, and he rides the subway in New York, and it bothers me when people take pictures of him. Leave Keanu alone.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
I do agree with that.
I love
him. So this object went through our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
It was discovered in October 2017 by the Pan-STARRS-1 telescope in Hawaii. And since its discovery, scientists have been at odds to try to explain its unusual features. It looks like a big flying Duke.
They say cigar. Yes, but you're right. It also kind of looks like a flying Duke.
It does.
Yes.
But it looks like it is 10 times as long as it is wide. They first called it a comet,
right.
And then they said it was an asteroid. because they didn't know what it was. And then they started, basically, they just, because they didn't know what it was, they created a new class called Interstellar Object. And they basically, kind of what they said was that they believe it was, the one scientist described it as just a piece from another solar system that is flung through our solar system. Okay. Right? So it's like a dingleberry, to use another. So
okay,
piece
so
of
it's
nuke.
A dingle, so it's a
I'm teaching. This is me, because you know what it is about right. hard materials, that you have to figure out how to reach the kids.
Well, how big would the Duke have to be if that's one of the dingleberries?
Think about that. Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yeah, that is mind-blowing.
But what they're saying, a new paper by researchers at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics,
okay.
they are saying that the elongated, it's a dark, they believe it was dark red colored.
Oof.
They believe
not a healthy Duke. If it
no,
is.
No, that means no, you've been eating beets.
Yeah, you gotta go to the doctor.
And you remember how many times I've eaten beets and I've forgotten, and I wake up thinking, "Oh, I have ass cancer." This is my new bit. I'm going to be doing this in stand up very soon.
Great.
But they
believe
that it might have an artificial origin, and what they believe is that they think that it may be an operational probe sent intentionally towards us. And the reason why they see this, and basically what they're saying is, it's not that they're. Again, it's always this. They always have the hint, and then the headlines of their articles always say, like, it's Harvard scientists find alien probe. Like,
right. They didn't say that, though.
But
it is a UFO by definition, right?
Yes. But what they're actually saying is they're actually giving more credence. It's very interesting. The actual meaning of it is that they're saying, we don't know what it was, and so we sat and this is a genuine theory.
Yeah.
That it is just, we believe that it might be it may be traveling, and they said the reason why they believe it might be artificial and piloted is that the object had excess acceleration,
right?
And an unexpected boost in speed as it traveled through, and as it basically came through our instead of being caught in the gravitational loop of one of our planets, one of our systems, or asteroid belt, it zipped right through, and they feel like that should not have happened.
So this happened over 3 days, right? And
yes.
there was like
So happened to catch it.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
This is really badass stuff here.
It's very, very interesting. And they said the way that it worked, that there's the book series I read called The Three Body Problem, that whole series, a lot of the ways they figured out how the extraterrestrial objects travel was this thing called a light sail.
Is that about the bodies of people who research UFOs? Because
that would have been the three-chinned bodies. which is always a problem.
I cannot wait for the body. Issue of the UFO digest or whatever.
Just me and Stanton Friedman on a beach, just sipping drinks, sucking each other's toes. But it's this thick concept called a solar sail.
Okay.
It's obviously, I don't really know what that means I'm going to try to explain it as much as possible.
Solar sail.
But in Three Body Problem, they talked about it because the Three Body Problem, they used a lot of real science. And a part of what they talk about is a thing called solar sail. And what they notice is that when the ISS, when it's in space and various probes in space.
What's the ISS?
The International Space Station.
Oh, okay.
They feel this thing called solar pressure, which is actual physical pressure that comes from the energy given off by the sun.
Okay.
And so they can move things in and out of orbit. Obviously, if you are a scientist and I am completely butchering this, tell me. But essentially, what a solar sail is supposed to do is, it is this gigantic, it is a sail, it's a space object, a space shuttle, that is a gigantic thing that catches the solar pressure and uses it to move faster than our normal just like a ship.
Oh, okay.
But they can harness the actual power of the traveling speed of light
cool.
in order to move faster than conventional chemical.
So
engines.
They're saying that this was had that.
They're saying that it's possible.
Cool.
That if it did, it could have been moving like with a solar sail.
Well, I also read something where they were saying this is possible. A outreach vessel sent thousands of years ago from another
taking
planet.
Taking pictures. Yeah.
Taking pictures.
Being a real Chuck Berry.
Being a real, God, I hope not.
Curious restaurateur.
Lock your doors. Lock the bathroom door at all times. But that's what they were saying. Maybe this was sent. So does that mean in like a 10,000 years, some alien planet is going to get that stupid Tesla car that Elon Musk shot into space?
Oh, it'll show up somewhere.
It's going to show up somewhere. They're like, what the hell is that?
They're going to be upset.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, this is the strangest thing of all time. This car doesn't even work because no one can even fix the car if it does break.
All I know is that if there are true nuts and bolts aliens out there, if they're coming from another solar system and they have found us, we are fucked. We are done.
They might be here to help, Henry.
They are never...
I don't
here
know.
To help.
No, I
because,
don't know.
No.
Why not? Why wouldn't they?
Because we are ants to them. We are a thing. They will come.
What if they're super tiny? What if we were just giants?
I'm just saying this. I think interdimensional aliens, or not that they're coming to help, but they are going to be more of we are just a bunch of a hallucinatory experience to them as we are to as they are to us.
I don't know, man. You got a Mars Attacks Independence Day.
I listened
Day.
To Black Star in its entirety.
I
last
know
night.
You did. But David Bowie, I bet you he thinks they'll be nice because they'll listen to David Bowie and they'll say, "Oh, these people are pretty cool."
He wants to fuck it, whatever
it
is.
Of course he does.
That's what he would have liked to have done.
Yes, he probably is doing it right now.
I hope so. I hope he's on fucking Star on Hail Bop.
Oh,
if he just went to Hail Bop,
that would be so shitty, though.
If you're just with all those losers.
Yeah, just hanging out with Apple White, whatever.
Oh my God. Cocked losers.
Oh God! How do I jump off of this?
But this stuff is. I mean, obviously, cool. A lot of scientists are saying that that's horseshit. We don't believe that, but that's because that's their job is to be really upset. Which
they're
I get.
Skeptical by nature. Yeah.
Yes, but if you look up Ikaros, Ekaros, it was a It was already developed solar sail, so it is a technology that can exist.
Okay,
which is very, 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 very expensive. But we also have that blister of what seemed to be directed telecommunications from somewhere. These radio signals that have also come out that they found recently,
right?
And they don't know what the hell that is. There's also the I saw a string of events. There's many things that are happening right now. It's weirdly also with the development of this Space Force, even though it's a...
Well, if it ever happens, I don't think that's going to
happen. It's a ding-dong-dum-dum idea
it's already
from
doing
Big
it.
Pants.
I spoke to a lot of people in NASA at a party. I did. And
where were you?
No, I was at a party. I go to some high end political parties. You don't even want to know.
Where did you meet NASA?
It was a birthday party for somebody.
Yes,
they're already doing it. All that Space Force stuff that's already being funded
already
through NASA. So like NASA is really just a cover for all of that. That's why we're not going to the moon anymore. They're actually much more militarized than we think.
No, it's all R&D, man. All of it's supposed to be
so they
the
should
military.
I'm all for Space Force. If Dumpy Dumb Shit didn't propose it, I think we
that's
would be
the only
like,
thing
okay, that sounds good.
Yeah,
but it's just because. The messenger was such an orange puddle of a demon.
Yeah, I don't want to fucking listen to his bullshit, but I will say it will be very... But it seems to be there's a lot of... obviously, every one of us have said the same thing. I think it's in terms of... I think that I'll use the millennial gamer term of... it's the eternal hope for the new Duke Nukem game, right? It's the eternal hope for that.
It's always been a disappointing series, from my understanding.
But yes, people have always... I don't know what it is. One of those games that is... Or was it like Fallout? Some game that won't come out. There's like an extra... There's some kind of...
Oh,
I don't know.
You know
I already did this to myself.
Use the analogy of Guns N' Roses with Chinese democracy. But then when it does come out, it resembles that poo-poo in the sky.
But we're all pretty... everybody's on edge thinking that it's going to finally be... This is when disclosure will happen. This is
Could
when the
cool.
government will do it. But I don't know. I feel like if anybody is not... If there's any person who is itching to tell us... It's Fatboy.
Well,
but
honestly, he can't keep his mouth shut, so I don't think they're letting him in the big boy room.
I don't think they're letting him in the
big
boy
room. Yeah, I think that's just like, you know, they're not letting him know what brick to turn to go into the place, so he's just in a library with no books in it, not even realizing
having
why
a great
this room
time.
Exists.
He doesn't want to be in there. He doesn't want to be
in
the library.
I don't know.
But there's a couple, I'm trying to find a couple of these. I'm trying to find, there was a series of events that have come up recently that are showing that there's a lot of UFO activity right now.
Okay. Well, you look into that, do a little research, and I will tell you a story. It's a little bit different. This is more of a Ben Kissel story. It takes place in my home state of Wisconsin in the wonderful town of Madison. We used to party quite a bit in Madison. I did a beer bong off, I think, a 15-story dorm building. It was pretty cool. And that was like 11 a.m. That was the start of the day.
Oh, God. I did one of those ice luges, one of the shot luges.
Oh, my God. With Jaeger. Meister or something.
Yeah, 11 o'clock in the morning. Ugh.
Wisconsin's the best. So a man in Madison, Wisconsin, now he was arrested, and if you get a chance, check out this dude's mugshot. He is rock and roll. So why was he arrested, you asked? Well, he threw a beer bottle at a bartender, which, okay, that's not good. But
Treat your bartenders well.
Absolutely.
And tip.
Absolutely. But the reason why, now, let me know if you guys think this guy was out of line or not. So he was rocking out to some Black Sabbath, maybe some Paranoid, God knows what. And then the bartender changed Black Sabbath to a Christmas song.
Oh, buddy.
This is a... If you're going to play a Christmas song, first of all, you don't turn Sabbath off.
What
no
day
matter
of
what.
The year was it? That's what I want to know.
This was the story came out. This is a bit older.
No, that's fine. But I want to know what day this of the year. Okay, I want to so see this, as long as this was close actually to
Christmas. Okay. This was December 28th. That's when he was.
You fucking piece
so it
of
was
shit.
After Christmas.
After fucking Christmas.
So I understand.
We're in the middle of Black Sabbath, and you're going to change the fucking step.
This, yeah, it's a bit of an older story, but nonetheless, it's still relevant. So officers came to Farm Tavern Bar. And it was after Christmas over a report of a disturbance and determined the suspect left the bar. An officer spoke to many patrons of the bar and identified the suspect as Christopher Gambick, calling him intoxicated and violent. Oh. The 33-year-old was upset when the bartender changed his music. Gamecock, he said, quote, he chugged his glass bottle of Budweiser. I do like that he chugged it first. He
I is do. A yes, true Wisconsinite. He's not going to throw a full bottle. No, he is going to fucking, because he knows he's going to jail. So I feel like you get one last in.
He chugged his glass bottle of Budweiser beer and slammed it down on the counter. According to the release, he then threw a bottle of beer in the direction of female bartenders, in the direction of the female bartender's head after he yelled expletives, after he yelled at her a bunch. And other patrons in the bar prevented Gamebick from going behind the counter as he circled the bar with his fist clenched, according to the release. His uncle eventually intervened and directed Gamebick to the door. He left the bar but pulled down a Christmas tree and broke several delicate ornaments on the way out. So I mean, honestly though, a Christmas song after Christmas, I don't care if you want to like
you
Christmas.
You should never assault anyone.
You should never. But if you are going to like Christmas, that's fine. That's within your right. But please, Lord, if it's after Christmas, now your time is done. I give you the month of December, even though everyone
you
takes
already
November,
get November,
and they give them November too. By the way, we haven't had Thanksgiving yet, and I'm already hearing Christmas songs. You can't just jump over the holiday.
There's some of us who get some of us. I'm going to put this out there: are straight up triggered by Christmas.
It's just so much.
If the song was Paul McCartney simply having a wonderful Christmas time,
I would fucking burn the whole bar down.
Murder would have been a lot.
Sure,
burn the whole bar down. I sure hate this song,
but I'm just saying.
Having a wonderful Christmas time.
Me with a nightmare. Christmas hat on, covered in blood.
I just don't know why these people. Who I mean, this fine. You know, we're more of a Halloween family.
We're
here.
Obviously a Halloween family.
But you know, if you want to like Christmas, we give you all through December. December 26th, though, it's done now and it stops. And like, there's no Halloween hangover.
No,
like no. The store
it's
is when
over
we were
in a second.
When we were going to
Halloween
Heidi Klum's.
Day.
Yeah, Halloween day. We're going to Heidi Klum's Halloween party, which was so awesome.
Oh,
thank you for
God.
Inviting us.
Oh,
we were hanging out with Neil Patrick Harris, Orlando Bloom, an Oscar-winning actress, and I didn't recognize anyone, but also
took Orlando Bloom's table, and he let us have it.
That was the nicest thing ever.
That
we went to this
nice.
We went to a corner of Heidi Klum's party, and we're like, this is where we belong. And then they weren't giving us any of the free booze, and they were like, can we get some? And they said, oh, this is for special guests. But then we realized the special guests were Neil Patrick Harris and Orlando Bloom, and then they just said that you can live like us for a night.
And it was a nice life.
It was incredible. They gave us so much so much tequila and so much alcohol, so much vodka, and they deliver it with a light underneath the bottle.
Yeah, dude, bottle service, baby.
Like it's the prettiest gal in the ball, and it was just incredible.
But
anyway,
that was great.
So Halloween day, we're getting all geared up. We're in our Halloween spirit. Dwayne Reed, Walgreens, every place is a fire sale. Everything must go, and they are just ripping down skeletons.
It was the way they were ripping them down. I was offended.
And it was Halloween day.
It was sweet arm sweeping the aisles, just like pulling shit off.
Right.
And I was just like, you don't hate it this much.
And you got people leaving up their Christmas trees well through January. I just don't understand why Christmas gets, they get 3 months. Christmas is almost 3 months long.
I have decided to, it's not having peace with Christmas. I don't know if that, right?
Well,
I don't enjoy Christmas.
I don't even hate it. I'm just saying, honestly, it's Christmas fandom. That kind of drives me a little bit nuts. It's like everything else. I like Star Wars. Star Wars fandom,
it's the fandom
drives me a little bit nuts.
But with them, I view it like I have my Halloween. You can have your Christmas exuberance like I have my Halloween exuberance. You can have that. I'm not going to take that from you. But it's just like, don't put it in my face. I'm sick of your pride. Christmas pride around. They're going to have these pride flags now just for Christmas. And it's all going to be red and green running around just being like, and now they're going to have parades.
There is definitely a parade.
We'll fucking just shove it in my face.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Although the one thing I do think is on the way out is that SantaCon, because I think everyone's realizing it's just everyone's way, way too hammered and it should not exist.
I learned from The Dispossessed that the only way to destroy an idea is you have to ignore it.
Yeah, that's actually wonderful, and that's a great advice for what's going on right now in the world.
And also remember that freedom is responsibility. That's also where I learned from The Dispossessed. I finally finished it. It's wonderful. No, freedom is responsibility. It's about the idea that if you want to be free of mind, and it's like, but it's responsible. You have to be responsible to your society. You have to be responsible to yourself.
I like that. That's the most responsible thing you've ever said, and so I appreciate you evolving in that way.
Just look at me.
Because, yes, usually look you're up. Just flipping off motorcades.
I fucking will do whatever.
I know. That's the
he's
irony.
Lucky I was just flipping him off. But I know for a fact that I can't.
He might not have been in there.
I know that he probably was not. Because, God, I mean, I don't want to talk about it.
We were talking about this in D.C. You know, the president's motorcade, it has, all those cars have his blood in the back. And that's just got to be so gross.
Just sloshing around. Anyway. Just all that right. Blood just fucking slapping back and forth in the big jugs. I don't know what it is. You know who fucking won? Riggleman.
Riggleman.
The Bigfoot, the porn senator. Not
really?
Senator, not the House of Rep or whatever it was. He won.
He did,
yeah,
huh?
He's a fucking part of our government now.
Do you have that story?
It's somewhere here.
This was a story
from last
where
night.
The man, he's a conservative. He's kind of an alt-writer. And this guy was trying to do a gotcha interview and was just like, so, tell me about Bigfoot. Denver Riggleman. And the irony is, when he started talking about Sasquatch, despite the fact that I disagree with the vast majority of his politics, it was the most likable thing I've ever seen a politician do.
Yeah,
because he was so into it.
It was the most vulnerable I've seen one of these fucking lizards. And he beat Leslie Cockburn.
That's right. Yep. It's going against Cockburn.
We learned about Riggleman and his Bigfoot book in July when Cockburn tweeted out a screenshot from Riggleman's Instagram.
Yeah,
and that's what gave him the fucking bump. Democrats are the worst.
She's trying
that's what gave him the bump.
Yeah, she's trying to roast him. She's got to have a little bit of respect for
and
his
guess what
pastimes.
Happens? Guess what, man? He flipped the roast. He turned it from you think you're roast, but guess what I just made? A beautiful sack of Brussels sprouts.
It's
with it.
Because when they interviewed him about it, when he went into great detail, when his campaign manager was on the side being like, no, like, dude, don't
stop,
do it.
Stop,
like,
stop.
But then he knew so much about it that you're like, well, if he at least he's researched into this nonsense.
He's worked
not
really
just,
hard on it. He knew his stuff.
He knew his stuff very well. So, all right, well,
fucking
that's
Democrats
he's going to rep.
So useless.
So now we got a story. Now, this story is actually totally brutal.
This story is fucking awful. Yeah. Football player 18 and his little sister were allegedly shot by their bedrooms by their mother. The Beggs High School football player was asleep in his bed early on Thursday when his mother, Amy Leanne Hall, fired a bullet into his head, then entered the bedroom of her 16-year-old daughter, Chloe Tolliver, a junior at the same Oklahoma high school, and shot her in the head as well. Authorities say Hall, 39, then fired at her 14-year-old daughter, grazing the girl. And the youngest daughter, who the police are not identifying, escaped to the bathroom, where she was later able to convince her mother to turn over the gun.
This is like some Shining stuff. This is all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy stuff. This is totally crazy. And if you get a chance, check out the mugshot of this 39-year-old. She is horrifying.
She is fucking mean looking.
So what?
They don't know what happened. They don't know what happened. She ended up in a 4-hour chase with the police
in a car chase.
She left. They finally got her. She's not entered a plea yet. According to the probable cause affidavit obtained by People magazine, Hall initially told police she didn't know why she shot her kids. She allegedly said she thought she was defending them from her estranged husband. And some part of me thought I was saving them.
We just covered possessions on last podcast proper. Is this seems like it could almost fall into that kind of world. Well, obviously, she was having some kind of mental break. She was possessed by something.
She said there was something inside of her that she thought that because she had a restraining order against her husband who threatened to kill her kids.
So how
so
bad?
She
by the way,
to
how
kill them? She killed them first. So, is what she decided to do.
What is that? Saving them. There are some people who do this kind of stuff. This is like cult activity and stuff like that.
Andrea Yates.
Right.
Felt the same exact thing. Felt she was saving them. It's all an excuse in the end. It's essentially just an excuse to say we are. That's why I killed them. Because it really just comes down to some weird psychosis. I
mean, right.
There's something eternally about. Something internally about, like, kind of like the way animals eat their kids.
Sure.
Like, it's very strange, but normally it's when they're very, very young. So it's very strange that we can just flip on our kids. It's a strange suicidal impulse.
Right.
Because I think it's the human need to destroy themselves. It's the Thanatos principle. I just hope when the young podcasters come for us, guess what, man?
You want what?
They're gonna have quite a flight in their hands.
I hope so.
You think I'm fucking weak? You want to come for me? You want to try to come for me?
They've seen you planking, so if the fight involves you just having to stand very, very still, you're tough. You'll destroy them. But when it comes to the 14-year-old...
You've never seen my tornado punch.
No, I have not seen that yet. When it comes to the 14-year-old, this is going to lead to some really interesting freshman in college stories. It just reminds me of, what was it, the Halloween? Was it Rob Zombie's Halloween?
What?
The second one where it was like the niece. There was some, the younger girl where it's like her life is haunted and she lost her whole family. And then, but she's like a goth chick and then she's super cool. And
yes.
Like this 14-year-old's a hero.
Yes, so but her life's fucked.
Well,
or it's going to be
really cool. Or really cool. It can go either way.
It's hard because hopefully she's getting the reach out that she needs, but she's going to get the therapy she needs because you need a fucking a pile of that because you have to figure out how do you decide whether or not you're going to have a relationship with your mother.
What do you do there? I think I'm going to – well, I need a cooling off moment. That's number one. I'm just going to need at least a couple of days.
Yep.
I don't know if you have a relationship with your mother at that point after murdering both of your siblings.
But you could maybe she goes into, I imagine in my mind that there would be some form of maybe drugs involved. There's going to be something that's involved in this that where I feel like when she sits in jail for a little while and she's going to go, oh, that was a bit of a mistake.
Did she do a bunch of mescaline or something?
I don't know. But all of a sudden, at the end of this, she's just like, oh, what did I do? I did bad. And then you have to figure out like, what you've done, maybe an apology.
Yeah.
Sometimes giving an apology is the hardest part of it all.
Yeah. And accepting an apology is equally difficult sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there it is. That's the saddest true crime story of the week and the most brutal. And it's always horrible when the caretaker, the mother that's supposed to care for their children,
mommy, don't kill
them.
Me. Mommy, don't kill me.
Definitely
that's
what do
I
not.
Did. That's a song I sing to my mom when I go home for any time when I'm home. I go, mommy, please, tonight, don't you kill me now. Oh, mommy, don't tonight.
She's trying to do it like she did to that dog. She's just trying to give you so much food that you die young.
Hey, death by chocolate. I love that ice cream.
It's not bad.
I had some chocolate ice cream with pig's blood in it.
What?
Yeah, the salty straw, the super hipster fucking ice cream. I went in there,
how the hell did that mistake happen?
It was fucking. They did it. It was for Halloween. They mixed pig's blood.
Was it real pig's blood?
Yes,
that's not even legal.
It looked like, okay, the only way to describe it is, who here has seen Two Girls, One Cup? You've seen it, right?
Yeah, of course. But apparently it was a fake video, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's fake. It was like chocolate doo-doo. It was a fake doo-doo that was somewhat inside the girl's beehole because of
honestly,
all that
Two
shit
Girls, One Cup, those actors or
they're
Human
all
Centipede.
Dead now.
You haven't heard from the Human Centipede actors ever again or them.
Well, Human Centipede, they went dark.
Yeah.
They went dark on their careers. They kind of bowed out. I think it was a little difficult for them. Once you're eating Duke on camera, it's like
fake.
Hard.
It was fake.
It's hard.
We were thinking about this, the human, and you can go into your pig ice cream blood story in a second, but we were thinking about this the other day. They didn't even know when they were shooting Human Centipede, they didn't really know what they were getting into.
No.
And they never spoke with Dieter.
Poor actors are just doing whatever, man.
Yeah. And they never spoke with Dieter Laser. The only time they saw him was on set. God, so they really were horrified.
I've been so scared of him.
But they thought that this was going to be their big break. And then
It never is. But I'm going to tell you that as an actor. It never is your big
Well, if
break.
You listen, if you're out there and you were an actor in Human Centipede, you guys did a great job.
We'll take, honestly, please come on the show. We'll fucking talk to you about the process. Because
we'll cast you in something if we can.
I'd love to, because when it comes down to it, it's like you work very hard. That's a very difficult job.
It's very difficult.
Incredibly difficult.
It was good acting.
Unfortunately, that movie was edited poorly, and I liked Human Centipede 2 better, but they brought one of the girls back.
Yes, other two, I think, had PTSD, and then they probably fired their managers, and then
they were just out there forever.
Yeah, then you just go back to Iowa and work at a phone bank or something.
Just something innocent, something nice, something that's not the horrible business that is show business.
So you're just eating ice cream filled with pig's blood.
But
now,
the way to describe it is that it was sort of a grayish brown, and it looked just like the shit that they were eating in Two Girls, One Cup. Like it looked like that shit.
But why did you buy that then?
Because I was curious. I'm a curious boy. How many times have I said this? I'm curious. I want to see what it's like. And so,
how much was it?
Oh, it was quite expensive. It was like $13 for like a little, like two scoops. It was quite a bit. It was like fucking ripped, was filled with blood.
Yeah.
And so as I'm eating it, it's very interesting because they covered it with the chocolate. They said the last year they had done it once before, and they had done it, and you could really taste the blood.
Ugh.
And then this, as you eat it, it's like you get like a little kick. It was like savory. It was
I would assume so. Isn't
cream.
It like metallic?
A little bit.
And then what else is blue? They say
it's irony.
Irony, yeah.
It's irony. It's a little bit. It's got a little bit of like an awfully with the O-F-F-A-L. It's got a little bit of that kick, and it gives you a buzz. That's what I like about awful, because awful and all that stuff, when you eat the guts, it's truly representing the power that we have over the food chain, and you feel that sort of predator buzz.
Well, you have some interesting theories on food. That's why you still eat octopuses,
I don't,
by the way.
I'm off of octopus.
You're off of octopus.
I'm done with octopus.
We had some octopus at that not very
squid.
Good restaurant.
Calamari squid.
Oh, squid.
Squid can't think.
Squid's got a brain.
No, fuck that. Fuck a squid.
But you're done with octopuses.
I'm done.
And by the way, it is octopuses, not octopi.
No, it's true. That's true. Yeah, octopuses. I'm done with them. Because number one, I had a bad bump with the octopus. I ate octopus head. I ate the whole brain out of it, and it almost made me throw up because it was a flavor profile I wasn't expecting. Because
it's the brain of an octopus.
Anything's edible. And so I was trying it, and I felt straight. It just didn't taste good. I got sick. Well, and then now I just kind of, they are too smart. And then the problem is it does dip into pigs, but unfortunately pigs are very smart too. They're just too fucking tasty for me to not eat.
If I had to stop eating a meat, I would stop eating pork because I love little pigs and I want a little pot belly myself. All right. So interesting, Henry. I'm going to say I think that pig's blood and ice cream probably shouldn't go together, but I'm happy that you got to experience that. And if you are disgusted out there, if you are disgusted and you give to our Patreon and then you're thinking, oh, maybe we don't want to give to our Patreon anymore because of Henry's eating habits, which has happened in the past, Marcus and I are totally normal. And I will stop eating
pork. You're almost too normal. You will never want to come on a culinary adventure with me.
No, because you eat brains of octopuses.
But sometimes it's fun to do.
No, it's never fun to do.
What are you talking about? It's so much fun.
Well, all right. I'll go on one adventure with you.
Will you?
Yes, I will.
Is it an actual promise?
It's an actual promise.
Because we will.
I will go eat whatever you order.
Let's go.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten, Ben?
The weirdest thing I've ever liver and stuff like that. Like when I was in Germany growing up, which I did not like liver. It's far too.
You ever had pate?
Yeah, I've had pate and stuff like that. Yeah, it's fine.
It's tasty.
I had bone marrow. It's fine.
You got to eat
just
it
not
right.
Food.
I got to show you how to do it.
Yeah, I know.
The hors d'oeuvres.
And I've never eaten fancy, so-called fancy food. Which, by the way, also there's a Venn diagram of like being super poor food, and then when fancy
being co-opted
people eat
by
it,
fancy people.
Yeah, then they're like, oh no, this is very fancy now. It's like, no, it's really not. This is like what you're. This is
no,
like
it's garbage
away.
Meat. It's all garbage meat. Shit. Yeah.
So I always want food after I eat something like that that actually makes me feel like I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Bone marrow is not food.
It's
what dogs eat.
It's a perfect hors d'oeuvre because it gets your esophagus and your guts all oiled up with the fats, and so that the food that you want can just slide right on in so much faster.
I'm a Wisconsin boy. Just give me some cheese. Good cheese. All right. Final story. Let's go to Antarctica. Now, this story is really quite funny because, of course, it has something to do with the movie The Thing.
Yes.
So this is an attempted murder, and it happened in Antarctica when a Russian scientist reportedly snapped and allegedly tried to stab a colleague to death because the victim kept, that's the optimal word here, kept giving away the endings of books.
This isn't fucking, like, this is obviously a long fight.
Yeah. It's not just like accidentally be like, oh, yes, you got to read the end of it. Oh, I can't believe it becomes a spider. And it's like he consistently saw. I was like, oh, what you reading there?
Oh, yeah.
And then, then I guarantee you he quickly read it. It was just like, yeah, you want to know something? And then he just ruined. I mean,
so
I get
tell
it.
Everybody who's died, it's like, Dobby dies at the end of this one. Like, what? What the fuck?
This is another.
Dobby?
The dude. So Sergei Savitsky had been trying to use literature to pass. These are lonesome months over there, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Horny scientists.
His colleague, Oleg Belgazovov. We'll call him Oleg. Was making it impossible to enjoy his hobby. This is what he said. An unnamed source said this. He said he kept telling him the endings of books before he read them. And so on October 9th, the 55-year-old Savinsky finally had enough and allegedly plunged a kitchen knife into the chest of the 52-year-old. and it wounded part of his heart. Now that I think about it.
He fucking was asking for it.
Yeah, kind of was asking for
it. He's asking for it. That's what happens.
So the men.
You're all caught in that fucking little room or in these little scientist rooms.
Oh, total nightmare.
You're so fucked.
Apparently, the men previously had spent 4 frigid years working together at the facility. Officials said that while the reading dispute was the final straw, the close confinement in the camp on remote Antarctica played a role in fueling the attack. I definitely believe that. So this is according to Deputy Director of the Arctic and Antarctic Research Institute. His name is Alexander Klepkakov.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
He said, quote, they are both professional scientists who have been working in our expeditions, spending year-long seasons at the station. It is down to investigators to figure out what sparked the conflict, but both men are members of our team. So they're still together.
Scientists are ornery.
I believe
they
that.
They can be. They can be. Or not all the time, because we have our friends like Ellie Brown and stuff. She's very sweet and she's not ornery. But I actually don't. I've never seen her while she's working.
No.
I don't know what she's like when she's working.
So this is what. So why is it so important, these books? Because all they have is workers can spend time flipping between 2 Russian channels, exercising at a gym, or reading in the research library. So this is the only option he has.
This guy's. I mean, he was fucking asking for it. He told him to stop.
Yeah, I'm sure he requested that he stop.
He told him to stop.
Yeah.
It comes down to a point. What can you do? And it's not that I don't think that violence is necessarily always the answer, but sometimes it's the only way you can get a guy to just shut the fuck up.
Well, I'm sure that Olog thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just like, like laughing every time. Because that's how he entertained himself.
I mean, also, though, you just got to read these books faster than Olog. If you see him reading something, you better like get that book, burn through it, and ruin the ending for him.
Or you just understand that, hey, man, sometimes it's not about the fucking ending. Sometimes it's about the journey. It's understanding. And it's reading the descriptions and living in the world. Ugh. You don't need to be surprised all the time.
Yeah. Why do they have to? Why do scientists have to go to Antarctica?
We got
to
go up there.
Yeah.
That's where we keep all the ancient evil viruses.
Oh, yeah, that's where the Nazis are holding their final compound for the Fourth Reich.
All right. All
you remember.
Interesting.
You remember from the reading.
Yeah, of course.
We're in Dallas, and so quickly I just will bring up Dr. Death, Christopher Dunch, who is a fucking guy. That podcast series is very good. But my one thing with the podcast series, so Chris Dunch is a spine surgeon who killed 2 people in surgery and maimed
like four.
Well, was this on purpose?
It was like 25.
Oh, for real?
It was many, many, many people.
He killed these 2 people on purpose.
We don't know.
Because I mean, that's a hard surgery.
If you listen to the Dr. Death podcast, it really lays the whole thing out. He had a really bad drug problem. He was an incompetent doctor, and he just sort of like it kind of went out of control. And then he just was filled with hubris and would never let anybody tell him that he needed help or he needed to stop. And so he kept going and kept going. And he was just doing horrible shit. Like, he was drilling holes into people's body. He left a sponge in a guy's neck.
Whoa.
He fucking just removed whole discs. He did all of this shit. People were like fucked up. It was like a serial killer doing this shit. But the one thing that I don't like about the Dr. Death podcast that I will say that I feel is a true crime thing in total, which is like, it's why we are a third in the world of true crime, right? As last podcast in the world.
Right. We got aliens. We got some ghosts.
All of our shit and conspiracy theory and all stuff. But a part of it is I don't like justice porn. Because at the end of the podcast, he's like, and then they finally, you can hear the clanking of the jail doors. And like doing the thing where they're finally like talking about it, whatever. Because I don't mean to bust it, but he's in court right now.
Someone's going to stab you.
Yeah.
You better be careful. Justice porn. That's just called justice, I think.
But I think it's this, people listen to true crime because then they want to have like the thing. It's like, and then they got the bad guy and then everything's fine.
Good. That's a good part of the show. It's like,
there's a guy out there doing the same thing right now who hasn't been caught.
And I hope they get him.
I guess it's just narratively satisfying though. I mean,
yeah, that's the whole point.
I'm just contentious.
You just want the bad guy to go free.
I just Star Wars, for me, I wish it was about Darth Vader and his struggle.
Honestly, I would love to see that.
The administration headaches. The fires you got to put out all the time
very
running
difficult.
The Empire. That's very, very intense.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Actually, so there, the hospital that he worked at is about 15 miles away from where we are right now.
Is that where they took Kennedy? Same hospital? When he was shot here?
You're just naming random Kennedy.
No,
things.
I think...
No,
well,
JFK. We're right by Dealey
I remember
Plaza.
JFK. You remember the whole thing.
No, because the hospital he worked at is in Plano. I think the hospital JFK went to is in Dallas proper.
Oh, okay.
But they put a Dr. Death billboard next to the hospital. that he worked at.
They're roasting it.
They roasted the hospital.
Yeah,
of course.
They let him go.
Very surreptitiously got it taken down through Clear Channel. But
yeah, those pieces of shit let him operate for a long time because none of them wanted to stick their neck out because all these doctors are afraid of the hospitals are being are afraid to get sued by doctors and the doctors are afraid to get sued by other doctors.
Right.
One
right.
of the they one of the deaths. Complicit. One of the deaths. I think her name is Kelly Martin. The coroner designated the death a therapeutic misadventure.
Oh, that's a hell of a nice way
hell
to say murder.
Yeah,
really nice.
Which is basically a way of saying like the doctor killed her, but like lay off the guy. He's had a hard.
He's not Mr. Toad. He's a fucking spine doctor. It's not him and his funny jalopy with his fucking mixed up friends and shit.
That's
it's not
incredible.
A misadventure.
No.
To kill somebody in spine.
Right. It's not a spaghetti incident.
It's not. It is all not. Right. Unless spaghetti was involved.
Yeah,
and he literally did just drop a whole plate of spaghetti in there, and then that it is a Dom DeLuise related murder.
That's not the place you want to be. Well, Dallas is the place you want to be.
If you want to see our show tonight,
yep, we got our show coming up tonight.
We got some tickets coming out. I think this will be released after the show is already in going. So
I'm sure the show was a massive success. Thanks for everyone who came out.
I'm here. I'm already yes, exactly. The show is over. I've collected my roses that have been thrown on.
Yes, they always send us roses.
Encore.
Right.
Encore.
I am sorry for booking us in the hotel from the Max Payne video games, by the way.
We are in that.
It is an interesting hotel.
We're in a terrible hotel.
But that's fine. I had a chance to walk around Dallas, and it's wonderful. And seeing the Dealey Plaza was quite interesting.
Oh, the Dealey
and
Plaza.
The grassy knoll. And there's a lot of history here. We had a great time in Dallas.
But we had fun. Again, if you have stories you want to send us, we're going to be going through these two. The side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Again, that side stories.
Uh-oh.
Side stories, LPOTL @gmail.com.
That's right.
Yeah, we got that coming out. You can also follow Last Podcast on the Left and LP on the Left and all the fucking bullshits. And you know what I'm going to do right here? There's a lot of podcasts that don't, there are a lot of podcasts out there. They don't tell you what to do. Right?
Yeah,
they don't
right.
tell you what to do.
No, they don't.
They don't give you advice. They don't give you out there.
No,
they don't tell you
no, there's no advice podcast out
there
at all.
There's none.
No,
I've never
no,
heard
I don't
of
think
that.
There's
no
whole
one
genre,
tells you to do.
No.
If you want to come and listen to a podcast that can really say, that we are, and this is great advice
right.
that you should live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big advice. Laughter
right.
is the best medicine.
Well, medicine's the best medicine, but yeah.
Laughter, but because of healthcare and the crisis, the healthcare crisis.
If you have cancer,
in this country,
you don't just like laugh it off because that's
psychotic. There's a lot of people who have to do it, and I suggest that you do it. Because Patch Adams, he doesn't need a doctorate.
Didn't work.
He didn't need to have a doctorate.
He was
just
a doctor.
Laugh. And I want you to love.
Good.
And there's a lot of things because what do you, Kissel, this week, what's the thing that you love the most this week?
Right. Well, this week I'm loving Texas. I loved all of the country bars we went to. I loved the country band that we saw. What were they called? The Drunken Gizzards or something
That's what we were calling ourselves. So we were telling them for them to call us
I bought
us
their
that.
T-shirt, though. They were wonderful.
I loved the sliders we had there.
The sliders were great.
That's what I loved.
This Dallas, actually, the area that we were in, it reminded me a little bit of Nashville. There was a bunch of live music, so I loved that.
A little bit.
Yeah,
little
I love good old country music.
So I love that.
When it's authentic.
I love my life.
Good. All right, everyone, and we love you. So
no one ever tells you what to do, so go out there and you do that. No one else has catchphrases either, so we're the only ones who do that.
There's
too.
A lot of people with catchphrases.
We're the only ones who have a catchphrase.
I don't know.
Live, laughing, and loving, farting, screwing, and dancing.
Okay. Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. We'll talk to you soon.
Mommy, don't you kill me. Mommy, don't you kill me.
It's a great reminder. Hey there, Ben Kissel here for Last Podcast Network. I want to tell you about my show, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. For more than 9 years, Marcus and I have strived to present you with the most accurate and honest political podcast out there. In these turbulent times, it's our intention to unite the country with impassioned debate that reaches out to the rational Americans who find their voices more muffled every day. Every week, I use my political science background, my experience running for office, along with my lifelong passion to stand up for the downtrodden, the wrongfully accused, and the invisible man and woman to bring you news like you haven't heard before. Let's face it, traditional news has failed us. We promise to always tell you the truth the best we see it, and I personally guarantee to not be swayed by hyperpartisanship, but be guided by facts. To listen, search Abe Lincoln's Top Hat on any podcast platform or go to lastpodcastnetwork.com and find it under shows. Hail yourselves, everyone!